about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this April the 29th, 2009, on the West Coast. And if you are on the East Coast or in the Central Time Zone, then you know it's now April the 30th, 2009. And good morning to you folks. Well, lots going on all over the world. Let's see, we've got Arlen Specter deciding that he wants to be on the side of Oprah Winfrey politically, and he's going to, or he has joined the Democratic Party. Interesting, Mr. Single Bullet Man. What is this world coming to? Not that it matters so much, but I guess they'll switch parties if it means that they're going to get more votes and probably get a few perks on the side. And let's see, the guy that's really going to politically gain from Mr. Spector's move is going to be that Messiah. That Messiah that we've been reading about. The one that has had his image made up like Jesus, and they're selling gold coins on TV, and from what I understand, he and his wife are deeply, deeply involved in real estate corruption. I discovered that months ago in my writings, in my genealogical research especially, which brings us to a point that we may discuss somewhat with tonight's guest. That's a recent addition to the Three Stooges Go to Washington family of serial genealogical forensic pieces. And I've just written and released part 6, and that is revealing some abnormalities in the family photo album. And I think you'll find that very interesting. If you haven't read that, go to my website, directlightproductions.com, click on articles. You will see that article at the top, The Three Stooges Go to Washington, Part 6. Very, very interesting study, if I say so myself, on how we look at photographs and how we really don't look at photographs. We're going to discuss that and some other topics with tonight's guest. He is a regular now and a favorite on Evident Footprints. He has his own website, educate-yourself.org, and it's a great research site, a great repository of truth, and some creativity as well. Our guest not only publishes that website and basically writes for it and edits what goes on the site, he's also been doing some areas of technology that many people are benefiting from, and we may talk a little bit about his work in that area as well. He's also got one of the most popular websites in the whole world, and he's helped me with my website as far as gaining more exposure, my good friend, and hopefully yours, Mr. Ken Adachi. Ken, welcome to the show.
Hi, Don. Thank you for having me back here.
Okay, Ken, you sound like you're about 100 feet away from your microphone. So
you're right. I'm sorry. I forgot to swing down the mic. There you go.
Okay. That's better. Okay. So how are you this evening?
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you. It was a nice day here in Southern California. The last few days have been rather nice, and we've been relatively free of chemtrails, not completely free, but the amount of spraying or at least the visible evidence of chemtrails has been down in this area for quite some time. Sylphs usually come out very quickly when they spray chemtrails here. There was, for the last week or two, I've been taking photographs every day, of course, whenever there is activity. And some of the sylphs that have been showing up are just spectacular. So,
yeah, we've had a lot of spraying in my neck of the woods, and I've done some recent traveling, and pretty much wherever I go, there's massive spraying. And what I notice, people aren't noticing that much, you know.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. When I, it's other people typically aren't looking up like I am, so it's that's the norm. Of course, one expects that, but it's okay. I do notice, though, from email that more and more people seem to be catching on to chemtrails. More and more people are aware of it. There's a number of people who don't understand the end game to chemtrails, and I'm not saying that I have the final answer, but there's quite a variety of thoughts about what's going on. But nevertheless, it seems to the program seems to at least be neutralized somewhat, to a large extent, in fact, by the action of sylphs. They definitely do consume the chemtrails. You can see it in many of the images. There literally are, we've done other interviews about sylphs, and they very often will look to be a creature, an animal, usually. And very often they have an open mouth, and you can literally see them biting into or engulfing a chemtrail. It's rather amazing. And so I'm glad at least we have that going for us. We don't have a lot of cooperation from the people in government, who every single one of them, at least certainly on the federal level, are perfectly aware of chemtrails. They know what's going on. They just will ignore the subject.
Well, yeah, you know, there seems to be a lot of swamp gas going around these days too.
Oh yeah,
you know, and that was the term that they used to explain away the sightings of flying saucers and other types of,
yeah, in the early years, yeah,
you know, UFOs.
I remember that well, in the 50s. Particularly,
most of the swamp gas is coming out of Washington right now, though.
Yeah, right. So now we have, because it's part of the Illuminati script to take over and destroy America. Now we have a completely bogus hyper vigilance and attention being focused on a swine flu outbreak. That is, you know, is simply, you know, fabricated. There are probably instances of people having flu-like symptoms, but people have been having flu-like symptoms since they started spraying the chemtrails. Everyone who's aware of the issue knows that, in fact, that's the most common, description. It's respiratory-type distress that can result from chemtrail spraying. And particularly when they spray very heavily, many people are affected. It's a large number. They flood into the local hospital emergency rooms and et cetera. Of course, that never makes ABC News.
Yeah.
It seems to predominate in the propaganda, or at least that's the one I'm noticing the most outrageous and most heavy-handed, if you will, breathless.
You know, I see this whole thing, this ruse about the flu, as a smokescreen for the financial corruption, the trouble that they're in because of the financial corruption, and I think a diversionary tack to, let's say, obfuscate the fact that Obama is being challenged in the Supreme Court by Dr. Orley Tate. And that in and of itself is a very interesting story, because she has been made a member of the bar. She's been admitted to the bar, and she's able to practice before the Supreme Court. So,
well, that's extraordinary. She has a lot of guts to go forward with this. So I can only take my hat off to her. I just wanted to continue this point.
I didn't know you wore a hat, Ken. You never told me that.
Well, sure, I can. Yeah.
Okay, but you took your hat off to her
for her. Because, yeah.
So you won't be wearing a hat anymore.
No, as a gesture of,
I understand.
Respect. So, we won't spend the whole show on it, but it's necessary to say that I think a lot of people realize that. I hear it on AM talk radio. Usually, AM talk radio, the audience response is usually in line with the direction of the propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
After 9/11 example, AM talk show hosts unanimously endorse the government's cover story, you know, Arab terrorists, the whole nine yards. And therefore the callers were all, you know, gung-ho, yeah, we're going to, you know. So you generally hear the party line over AM talk radio, and even AM talk radio tends to be very much dismissive of the swine flu as a complete inappropriate overreaction to a non-event.
Mm-hmm.
They had reported, I think it was this morning, of course, ABC particularly is so anxious to get these bulletins out, you know, the developing swine flu pandemic, you know, they just want to ratchet up the alarm, let's put it that way.
Well, that's the ABCIA.
ABCIA, very much so, you know, Disney's in the business, owns ABC, is in the business of doing whatever the Illuminati wants them to do in terms of propaganda. So I heard, I guess it was 2 or 3 days ago, again on ABC, Janet Napolitano, it was on the 5 o'clock news, ABC radio. First, what is Janet Napolitano, who's the person who's supposed to be in charge of Homeland Security, which is supposed to be addressed to issues of terrorists, affecting our security? What is this woman doing in charge of the point person for what they're calling a swine flu, you know, epidemic, pandemic, whatever nonsense, you know, totally inappropriate. We should be hearing from a medical authority, you know, this guy, Richard Besser of the CDC. I heard his comments on the news conferences. He started to give perhaps it was 3 days ago as when this thing began to hatch, and I heard him on the news daily.
Ken, if I can interrupt you for a second, your microphone is making a noise similar to lightning bolts. I don't know if it's rubbing against something or a bad connection.
Okay, maybe it was. Maybe
got
it was.
Quiet I'll, there all of a sudden.
I'll change. Sorry to have those little lightning bolts.
Yeah, they were lightning bolts.
Okay, I guess I was just getting too relaxed.
I could feel the power of God in what you were saying, but, you know, it's too much of an effect for this show. Anyway.
Well, anyway, I'm just so tired of listening to this, you know, this scripted claptrap. You know, it became so tiring to hear them regurgitating the spin, the lies, the cover story about 9/11. It was annoying to hear it in the days and weeks following 9/11, but to hear the same...
It's the same thing. Yeah, the same lies.
Repeated year in, year out, and justified, you know, used to justify those wholly unjustified invasions of Afghanistan and Iraq. Over a million Iraqi citizens, you know, suffering a horrible death as a result of that wrong attack, wrong occupation, wrong invasion of their country. It's just so tiring. They just hear them prattle on, and the enthusiasm and the tone of voice of these media reporters and talking heads and commentators, etc., to hear them to respond to these scripts as if it's all on the level, as if it's all real, as if it's all genuine, and knowing full well that a large percentage of them are members of the CFR. They are part of these briefings to sell these concocted, contrived crisis events to the public. You know, we have to remember that in the many months leading up to this, what they're calling outbreak. I mean, it's so obscene to use the word pandemic. The true meaning of the word has lost all its value completely when they apply it in circumstances in which it is inapplicable.
Mm-hmm.
You have to remember, in earlier decades, before they, enthroned the word pandemic in the government's arsenal of lies, of the rhetoric of selling their scare campaigns, before they virtually enshrine the word, I remember quite well in 1976 when they sprung this word on us, because that's the first time they wanted to generate hysteria about swine flu. That this word was bandied about. Prior to that, if there was a large outbreak of some sort of infective disease condition, the media, radio, television, used the word epidemic.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say that. Yeah.
It jumped down, they didn't jump to this word pandemic. Pandemic, if you want to be honest with, which they never are, but if we just want to discuss words, the meaning of words, pandemic is such the bubonic plague, the black plague of the Middle Ages, could properly be called a pandemic. I mean, it was so widespread, it was so devastating that it affected, and killed so many people, in terms of the total population, when a contagious disease takes 20-30% of the entire population. Okay, let's call that a pandemic, but let's not call what started out 3 days ago, at least, as 20 reported cases in the U.S. You can't call it an epidemic. That's a complete misapplication of the word epidemic. To call it a pandemic is obscene itself.
Yeah, that's a disease that's taken over a whole country or the whole world.
Right, and it's the whole world.
Yeah.
And it is actually decimating
the population so severely that it's crippling the population. Okay, the 1918 flu epidemic, or, you know, it wasn't even called a pandemic at the time, but it killed a lot of people. Now, they changed the numbers all the time, but I think it's more accurate in the United States. It was about 500,000 deaths as a result of the 1918. And then worldwide, I've heard the number change anywhere from 6 million to 20 million. And some...
I've even heard 30 million.
Well, I'm just about to say, when they're reviewing the Spanish flu, because, you know, they want to use the 1918 Spanish flu recall, the reason they allude to it, is they want to create the psychological image of worldwide, you know, destructive misery of a huge of huge proportions. So they want to use this as a tool, as a psychological psyops reference point. So, but, you know, here we have the government declaring a national emergency. I guess it was 3 days ago. Today's the 29th. Yeah, so we're talking the 26th. That's about right. They declared a national emergency, and at the time, there was 20 reported cases. Of those cases, and of course, this is what the media is calling reported cases. Do we really know that every single individual, first, do we know that the number is accurate? No, we don't. Do we know that there has been a laboratory test done confirming that these people have each of these strange, you know, H1N1, H3N1, No, we don't know that. We're just being told this over the media. And then these same people are the ones who make reference to the 1976 swine flu outbreak. There was no outbreak of swine flu. It was in 1976. It was a completely contrived, fabricated, you know, outbreak. It simply didn't exist. The government said it existed. It didn't exist. And what they started to do is they, you know, with Illuminatus Ford at the helm of the propaganda campaign, they dive into this emergency mode, you know, need, so they said, to vaccinate everyone against the disease, because this was going to take off like a pandemic. And I can remember at the time, there was a man in New York who had a popular TV talk show called David Susskind. He since passed away, but at the time, he was still one of your main TV hosts of talk shows. He'd have a reputation similar to maybe what Charlie Rose has today. And I can remember he had a panel of government experts. These were people, medical people, government people, who very patiently explained to Susskind exactly what this word pandemic means and how it's different from an epidemic, and how this swine flu is an extremely dangerous situation, they says, that needs our immediate and full attention if we're going to prevent this thing from causing what might turn out to be millions of deaths. I can remember these words like it was yesterday. And these guys are going, it's an hour show. I saw the whole thing. I watched it with my father. And at the time, 1976, I didn't have a clue about the New World Order or the fact that, you know, the government is in the hands under the control of these individuals whose ulterior goal is to destroy this country, is to create pretext, is to install a society of mind control slaves. I didn't know that then. I was just listening to this, you know, assuming, accepting that what I was hearing was true, was legitimate. Now, even though I had that mindset, as did my father, when we talked about it later, intuitively, he and I, you know, felt, you know, we're not getting those swine flu vaccine. We're not rushing down there just because Gerald Ford is trying to stampede us and, you know, these television shows are trying to create fear. We just intuitively thought, well, wait a minute. We're not diving right into this. So, you know, we never got those shots. And within a matter of weeks, Don, it wasn't like months, it was within weeks, they curtailed the entire vaccination program. Why? People were dying from the vaccination while they were getting it. I mean, some elderly people died right then and there. It was shocking.
It's certain that you get these vaccines, whatever it is. I mean, it's been described by those that have checked this out that it's a combination of bird flu, swine flu, and human flu, several types of human flu. Now, that can only be produced in a lab. Dr. Len Horowitz has been studying this and reporting on it. Dr. A. Truat, Dr. Rebecca Carley, Dr. Bill Deagle. And it's always the same people that are divulging, you know, these scandals, these scams that are going on.
Yeah.
And they're going to use this as a pretext to institute martial law. All the while, they've got everybody thinking about this, just like we are right now on this show.
Yes.
And it's hiding the corruption that's going on, because they've got some big problems there.
You're right. And that, of course, is always the case. I don't expect this to be the be-all, end-all, pandemic scare campaign in order to force us all to either get our vaccines or we're going off to the FEMA concentration camp. I don't expect this one. I expect others to follow this one. But this, as somebody said, and I put this story on my website, it's a beta test. That makes more sense to me. This is a run. This came out of left field in terms of using the pretext of avian flu when they've been use the pretext of swine flu when they've been pumping the story of avian flu.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to create a sense of impending worry about that for about 3 years.
Well, remember, we had SARS before that, too.
Oh, yes, I remember it quite well. SARS was around 2004, I believe.
And then it was Ebola, and it was AIDS.
Yeah, Ebola was in the 90s. I can remember that. And of course, AIDS was in the 80s. All laboratory-created diseases, government laboratory-created diseases, to wipe out certain segments of the population, such as, you know, black people in Africa, so they can steal their mineral resources. And for some reason, even though the Illuminati promotes homosexuality, they seem to, you know, have a desire to eliminate homosexuals too, via the AIDS stuff. I don't think this is going to be the final one. I'm guessing at this point, of course. I think they'll pump this for 2 or 3 or 4 weeks, perhaps. I don't think they're going to try to have it carry on for months. I'm just guessing, but I'm figuring 3 weeks, perhaps. And then it will disappear from the media as quickly as it came on to our attention.
Now, it's been a month and a week, since this actually transpired.
If you're talking about the outbreak in Mexico, but I'm talking about the media hysteria campaign started around 3 or 4 days ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm talking about the U.S., the campaign, particularly, I mentioned, I don't know why, but maybe I just happen to listen to that, but ABC, both television and radio, are just going nuts in promoting this.
Well, Fox is too. I heard on Fox Radio the initial report. They said that 8 students from New York went to Mexico and they contracted the disease. And then there's a case in Kansas and California and Texas, and now one in Ohio, and it's a 9-year-old that was there at this pig farm in Mexico. Now, We don't know. In fact, they haven't said for certain that this kid in Ohio has swine flu or bird flu. It just has
right. They cover themselves. Yeah. That I hear that too. I hear the code word.
And in New York,
very often they use the word suspected. Well,
yeah.
Anybody and their grandmother can say or you know are directed to say or have been hinted to say or is already set up to say. Well, we suspect this to be sure. I mean, that's easy because, come on.
Yeah. Now they build up this New York dimension of mm-hmm. of this story, and then at the end of the broadcast, and this is on Fox Radio, they say, "By the way, the New York students are doing better. They're recovering.
They're recovering
because
yeah.
they got a milder form of the
yes.
disease."
Right.
Now. How does the media know what form they got?
Of course, they don't know. And like
yeah.
everything else we hear, it's what has been handed them, scripted to say, to report. And so that we're fed these fabrications in such a way, though, so there's kind of this always this plausible denial element built
mm-hmm.
into the way they report it.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone held their feet to the fire and say, well, wait a minute, we said that was a suspected case, blah, blah, blah. Because,
yeah.
you know, if you remember following 9/11, they, of course, already had the legislation already drafted a couple years before. They had the Patriot Act all set to go. So if you remember 9/11, and within a month, by the third or fourth week of October 2001, the Patriot Act stamped, done, passed, gone. And then they also had this rash of anthrax letters, a quote, attacks, that followed immediately after 9/11. Again, government operation, black ops,
mm-hmm.
who knows, CIA, Mossad, military, who knows, but government operation, no doubt about it. They sent these anthrax-laced letters to chosen individuals in Congress who would make I remember there's some big-name TV anchor-type personalities were part of that deal.
Tom Brokaw was one.
Yeah, Tom Brokaw. Some poor woman in New Jersey, I don't know, was chosen as a target. Some schmuck they wanted to wipe out down in Florida who had some photos that the FBI wanted to get their hands on. They wiped him out as a way to quarantine in his building, go in there and, you know, take his stuff out of his safe that they were after to begin with. So they had a few chosen schmucks that they used as front. And then after, I don't know, a month or so of that hysteria, suddenly it's gone. It's just not in the media anymore. We will see this current nonsense erase from our site just as quickly. I'm guessing, of course, but I'm going to give it a run of 3 to 4 weeks, perhaps, just wild guessing. And then we're not going to hear a word about this until they mount their next phase of their campaigns to bamboozle the public. I don't expect any attempts at this phase to try to raise the issue of mandatory vaccinations. That will come, though, later. And I'm not talking years apart, you know, probably some months from now, they'll enter a new phase of their deceit, and they certainly want us all to get vaccinated, because then that's it, done deal. They don't have to worry about chipping you, because you're going to get chipped when you get vaccinated.
And eventually that this whole pandemic will be blamed on likely Osama bin Laden and Barry Satoru. And we have such short memory spans that we won't even remember who that is.
Yeah, and it's again, these are just within the realms of possibilities. We've talked about it before, but it's worth noting that Obama was in Mexico at the time, quote, of the outbreak, and they made some allusions to that a couple days ago when, you know, when they started this hysteria campaign over the media. And it occurred to me, and I'm sure it's occurred to you and other guests that you've talked to in the last couple of days, that they might use some pretext to cause, you know, Barry Sotaro to expire in the course of the events, let's say, leading up to 2012. And one possible pretext might be that Barry might inexplicably come down with symptoms of the swine flu and just bingo, like some of these victims we're hearing about, fine one day, 4 days later, dead. You know, it might be a possibility. And then, naturally, Joe Biden, if Barry happened to expire in office, would become president. We've talked about this before, that if they wanted to try to maximize their crisis calendar, having Messiah Obama suffer an untimely death, either through assassinations or succumbing, you know, to some mysterious swine flu, besides pushing him out of the way and perhaps getting the man they wanted in Biden in place anyway, that might unfold in that way. There is simply too much hype in the media, again, in the media, to you know, to glorify Obama as this messiah character, and the very obvious psyops to connect him with Lincoln, you know, the idea of connecting him of being a savior type of individual, and even going so far as to have him put on a, you know, a high stovepipe hat, etc., and taking pictures like this, seems to me there might be a darker agenda there to make him into a sacrificial lamb JFK type of scenario,
mm-hmm.
and either assassinate him or have him. Naturally, I don't want that to happen, but I'm just saying that it's certainly within the realm of possibilities. They plan on escalating these contrived crisis events. This swine flu being one of them. If they can arrange for a major false flag terrorist type scenario and pull it off, they might do that.
Now, Ken, did you hear? Speaking of which, did you hear about the Soviet ship that shot down, or I should say sunk, shot down. I guess it went down, but they sunk it. Chinese cargo ship, supposedly carrying a nuclear weapon, headed for the port of Seattle. Again,
okay,
on March.
I only heard it actually on I think it was one of your shows.
Yeah,
a day or two ago. That's the first allusion I heard to it.
Well, it was first reported on March 23rd. Although the event, I understand, occurred March 20th of this year. And that is exactly 1 month after the inauguration. And if you recall, the week before the inauguration, we were doing a series of shows about false flag attacks on seven cities.
Yes, yes, that's right.
That was a very real
issue,
situation. Yes. And I was told that this broadcast was highly responsible for that.
That's amazing.
Being stopped is what I meant.
Right.
Okay. So a month later, this other incident. Now, I just heard about this thanks to one of our listeners that forwarded a message in regard to that. So people are paying attention, but the media didn't utter one word about this, the mainstream media. Isn't it amazing that while all this corruption is going on, we have these stories being developed around the world and panicking people, you see, because they can't see a virus or, you know, they can't see the flu.
Yeah.
They certainly can see a mushroom cloud and dead bodies, but they can't really see the flu coming at them. So they can create that fear, that paranoia, to obfuscate what's really going on, and that's more financial corruption.
Yes. Of course, they always use these events as diversions while other more serious things are occurring in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly that anthrax letter operation following 9/11 was part of that. I think it had multiple purposes. One was to stampede any members of Congress who weren't ready to rubber stamp the Patriot Act, is to stampede them into the message that if you don't want to, you know, get an anthrax letter yourself, you better, you know, play ball.
Mm-hmm.
I have the feeling that was part of it. But beyond that, other things were going on. They were, you know, literally passing these Constitution-wrecking statutes after midnight during, you know, which should have been, remember, of course, December followed. They passed a lot of really heinous legislation after, you know, many at Congress had already broke for the Christmas recess, et cetera. I mean, it was just outrageous what took place legislatively, I'm speaking now, in the winter following 9/11. It was just outrageous what they did to the American people. So, yeah, it's useless to expect that the large majority in Congress who are playing ball with all of their contrived schemes, it's useless to expect them to respond to, you know, to constituent pressure. It's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I just heard Henry Waxman on the radio today. Amy Goodman, he was on this morning. It's amazing how he, without batting an eye, he's defending this swine flu as if it's genuine, as if it's a serious situation, and the CDC and Nancy and Janet Napolitano are doing what's necessary, and I mean just going on and on like a straight arrow.
Yeah, what is necessary?
Exactly.
What is?
And then he segued into the need for, you know, carbon swapping, and so he then spent excuse me, maybe I'm wrong. I'm sorry. I did listen to Amy. No, it was on NPR. Waxman was on NPR this morning. He was on for quite a while. And he was there. And then, so he said, after he covered the swine flu, story, from there he went into global warming and the need, absolute need for carbon swapping and how all this is going to benefit all of us and how these name callers in Congress who are calling the Obama group should change their names to National Socialist Democrats, or so for people who don't know, the word National Socialist Democrats is what the Nazis referred to themselves in Germany. And
well, he's acting more like a communist. By the way, I wanted to bring up the issue of this article that I wrote and the photos. Can you, in your mind, knowing what you know about, and you haven't really told me what you think of the article, other than I know what you think of the photos, What would be the purpose of trying to fake somebody with no qualifications? What would be the real purpose? I mean, don't you want somebody in there sharp as a tack, not somebody that falls apart as soon as the teleprompter breaks down?
Right.
You got to remember that, the last few presidents, it seems that the intellectual capacity of the president has been declining steadily. While Clinton is certainly a cunning individual, and he certainly cooperated with the agenda, I wouldn't call him an intellectual, but I wouldn't call him dumb either. George Bush, too, I'd call dumb. I mean, the man is simply not that bright a man. He's limited. Of course, his father is, substantially sharper, intellectually speaking. Of course, much darker individual. It's a crime family. The Bush crime family is way above the Corleone family when it comes to just pure crime tentacles.
Yeah, I see a cumulative IQ amongst all these people that probably rivals the air pressure in a spare tire.
Well, okay. But, let's be honest, though. I mean, Bush, too.
Devious
was,
or smart is two different things.
I don't know. I'm a little bit. I play a little bit of games myself with words in the interest of humor. But I don't like to be too overbearingly crude in writing. But I've read by many other people. They refer to him as the village idiot. It makes you laugh because it has a ring of truth to it. I mean, he's not a retarded individual. That would be unfair. But, he's a dim-witted person, intellectual. Actually, he's very limited capacity. He certainly didn't have the background of great education. He was able to go to any school he wanted to go to. But he's a playboy. He's a cokehead. He was the guy had so much white powder up his nose. They could have been in a kabuki play. And passed. By time he becomes president, of course, publicly we're told about his alcohol problem. We don't know about the white powder problem, but the man's been into heavy stuff most of his adult life, and he just wasn't that bright. Now Obama is glib as all get out. He's a complete actor. He says nothing of substance throughout the campaign. It's inspirational, overconfident, unjustified confidence. Glib, that's the best word. Someone who's talking through his hat but sounds convincing is a glib individual. And to people who don't demand facts to go along with the rhetoric, well, he's undoubtedly trained. There's no doubt in my mind that he's gone through training to appear this glib, this
bombastic.
Bombastic. So, as if he's in charge, as if he knows what he's doing, as if another Kennedy, you can see how they wanted to mold him in that image. If he didn't mm-hmm. have this teleprompter, for one, that being his biggest crutch, he's probably getting, I'm guessing at this point, but you got to think the guy's wired. They have technology available now. He probably has implants, and I'm even talking conventional technology in which, without wearing a visible earpiece, he probably has something implanted under his skin in which he can hear transmissions beamed to him. That wouldn't surprise me at all.
A few days ago, he had a meeting with King Hussein from Jordan, in the White House, and they were speaking in English, and Hussein speaks perfect English.
Yes.
And Obama had an earpiece in his left ear that, to me, probably served more of a purpose receiving the words one was to speak.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. In other words, so he didn't need it for translation.
You know, repeat after me.
Right. That's entirely possible.
He didn't need that for translations because they were speaking perfect English. You know.
Right. Thank you. We watch videotapes from Japan most of the time for entertainment, and there's a sort of comedy orientated show that we see in which the participants to entrap young men in fooling around with other girls. You know, they might have the girlfriend on the show as part of the panel, and they set up what they call a trap girl, an attractive girl, you know, to appear to accidentally meet the young man, you know, and ask him for directions and set it up so he'll ask her to, you know, go with him to a bite to eat or have a drink or something. The whole purpose, they're trying to entrap him to get him to see how far he'll go with this trap girl. And naturally, they have his girlfriend there as part of their panel, you know. So anyway, in all these cases, these people who they use, they are wired in the way I'm talking. So the host is talking to them through a microphone and telling them what to say. And in some cases, they use young men to try to, you know, do this with women. And you can't see the technology. In other words, it's like a guy, short hair. You can't see the technology, yet they're wired so they can hear what the host is saying to repeat it. So that gives you an idea how small the technology must be that they can conceal it so that, you know, the person being entrapped can't see this at all. So if they can do this on television, imagine what the government has available to them in this arena, you know. One wonders when you talk to Obama, who's really responding, you know? Who's ever, you know, because he might just be, you know, mainstreaming the stuff out as fast as he's getting it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, you know.
Could be Larry Sinclair.
I mean, you know, Obama is a created character. He's a created character. I'm convinced that without being wired, you know, as it were, without the teleprompter, if he was in a debate with someone who really knew the facts, he couldn't hold up for 5 minutes. He just couldn't. The guy is absolutely dependent on being artificially propped and supported. You can see that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not hard to see that, at least if you got an eye for it.
Well, they even had to do that with his pictures.
Do that with his pictures, yes. I'm sorry. That's really where I wanted to get to. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
And a diversion there. But yes. Okay. So what you discovered was one aspect of the Obama deception campaign. He's being handled in every possible way by covert individual, I suppose. You know, we don't know, but we're just guessing, but we have to assume that they're using the people who specialize in covert operations, you know, CIA, NSA, you know. And therefore, they created a false genealogy of who his mother was, who his father was, where he went to school, where he was raised, where he was born, et cetera, et cetera. And you initially, wrote some brilliant pieces uncovering the falsities in the genealogical background.
And in his autobiography.
Oh, of course, his autobiography, his book, which surely was written for him, please. You know, there's no question in anyone who
who, you know, who can do what he did in the back of a taxi cab with Larry Sinclair, or a limo, whatever the case was. Please, he's not banging away, you know, at the typewriter.
No pun intended, right?
Right. So, sure, it was written for him. And, of course, they completed the genealogy falsification with created photos. So, and it's amazing to me that, you know, an ordinary civilian like you, you know, you weren't looking for this necessarily. You know, you don't really have the equipment, you don't, and yet you spotted it. You can see that these photos in which they put up of Barack and supposedly in a high school in Hawaii, that something about the photo, as you looked at it, told yourself, these things don't look right here. Somehow the image of Barack in the center holding a basketball, when there's already a guy in the front row holding a basketball, when do you ever see a basketball picture team in which two guys hold basketballs? You never see it. And Barack's appearance is so odd, it looks like he was inserted there. Mm-hmm. They have his arms overlapping adjacent players, whereby the other players are shoulder to shoulder. Their arms aren't overlapping one another. When you see a football team, a basketball team, a soccer team, a tennis team, any sports team taking a group photo, these guys or women or both are sitting on bleachers or something, shoulder to shoulder. Their arms aren't overlapping each other. That's not the normal way a sports team Photoshop, a photo is taken. But if it's Photoshopped, then it might work out that way. And in this case, you know, you clearly could see that somehow the size of Barack's body doesn't seem to quite meld with the guys adjacent to him. You know
they're in that basketball photo, which I'm looking at right now.
Yeah.
It appears that his right arm is maybe 9 inches longer than his left arm. And the kid sitting to his left, right, had his arm taken off and reattached. And it's and it also is smaller than his other arm. I mean, this is crazy.
Yes, it is crazy when you focus on it and look at it. You know, when you focus your attention on it, and you're the one who drew my attention to it. That once you actually look at it, then you say, "Oh my God, Don's right." You know, this is odd. And then once you're focused on it, oh my! Then things start popping out all over the place, and you pointed out there's so many anomalies with the uniforms, the lettering on the uniform. It's arched for most of them, and one guy, it's a straight set of. There's a missing letter. I mean, it's so obvious when you point it out. But so anyway, that was a brilliant discovery on your part, and you know, you deserve full credit for focusing on those. And they concocted these photos.
Yeah, now the photos give us an opportunity to see the individual that they're promoting. And when you see that the photos are fraudulent, then you have to ask the simple question, the logical question, is why would anyone fake photos of themselves? Or why would someone fake photos of another person? Obviously, it's usually done in blackmail or extortion, or in the movie industry in special effects. But in this case, they're selling a person to the public. They're iconicizing a person who is running for a political office, the highest office in the land, and has not met any of the requirements required of any other president. Although, looking, you know, hindsight is golden. We have the same issue with George H.W. Bush, too. And he faked his way into this country.
Oh, yes.
You know, and as you go on, you start to see that two or three recent presidents had a very unusually, or let's say presidents or people surrounding the president, had an unusual connection with the Rockefeller family. Why does this
yes.
family keep popping up in the backgrounds of these people? And why won't the mainstream media admit what I have brought out, what I have discovered about this?
Yeah, well, I might say that that I had spent some time a couple of years ago, might have been 3 or 4 years, I can't remember exactly, but before we had known each other, I had spent some time looking at Clinton's background, and it's absolutely true. Officially, they're claiming that this army guy was the father. I should say during World War II, a man who supposedly was in the army, who Clinton's mother, I don't believe was married to. I'm not sure.
They claim they were, and he was
okay,
a
sailor. That's right, there was a claim. But they were also tried to paint the story, believe that he had died in the war, and the fact is he had not at all, and he was discovered at a later date. And then, so the story, the cover story, shifted that there was perhaps a physician, a doctor in that, I guess, Arkansas town that she lived in was the true father. Well, you know, I think you've alluded to it, but it's probably more likely the then governor, Winthrop Rockefeller of Arkansas, is probably the true father. Apparently the mother, you know, played around with a lot of men.
Uh-huh.
And, was, you know, wasn't exactly, you know, a nun. It seems she had a reputation for, you know, being, you know, something of a loose woman. And there's at least a possibility that it was Rockefeller.
Very strong possibility.
Yeah, so that makes more sense because they want their own to be in these positions of power.
Yeah, the individual that was supposedly Bill Clinton's father was reported to have been killed in a traffic accident.
That's it. That's
in,
it.
In southeastern Missouri on his way back from a conference, sort of like a trade show, in Chicago, of all places. Again, the city of Chicago.
Right.
And enters into the picture.
What a place to bury bodies, you know.
Yeah. So, you know, that was the story behind that. I had heard the doctor story, and then through the work of Webster Tarpley and others, we were independently coming to the conclusion that it would have been, as you said, a Winthrop Rockefeller who... Now you have to ask yourself why were the Rockefellers there in Arkansas? Well, they were spread out all over the place. In fact, they
for the same reason Jay Rockefeller is in West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
They have their people in place. The same reason Nelson Rockefeller was mm-hmm. in New York. It's certainly at the top of the American Illuminati, the Rockefeller
uh-huh.
family. So, yeah, they have their boys. And you notice what a low, relatively, I should say, low-key role that Jay, which of course stands for John, just uses the nickname of Jay, it plays and has been playing for all these years that he's been side-by-side with Robert Byrd in West Virginia. I mean, Robert Byrd, wow, what a
piece
what
of
a
work
guy he is. Oh my God, what an operation he is. So it makes sense that they would use a state like West Virginia, in which they've sort of got, you know, a relatively unschooled population, mostly
poor people.
And they go in and take over all the minerals.
They take over, like they take over in Florida, you know, because it's relatively easy pickings, you know. They don't have that sharp a local populace to challenge their stuff, so they just spin their yarns.
No.
And so, yeah, so Jay Rockefeller will certainly emerge in the coming years, and especially, I'm guessing, but it seems to me after David, if David ever passes on, I don't know, he's getting pretty old. He's in his 90s now, and he's still in charge. So, but when David passes, of course, Jay will undoubtedly be at the top of the Rockefeller pyramid, I would assume. So he's currently, well entrenched in the Senate, and who knows? If assuming the United States continues long enough before we're transformed into the new North American Union, or whatever name they decided on rechristening the United States as. But assuming that the country goes on for another decade or two, I'm convinced Jay will be in line for the presidency. That makes sense to me. Nelson certainly wanted it so badly. Oh, God, did Nelson want it.
Oh, he did. And I have some surprises about Nelson and his son later on.
Yeah, I know. I'm really amazed at what you got there, too. That what you uncovered there is a very significant story, because his statements about, you know, the son not wanting to look for him, etc., it's ludicrous. The man's, one of the wealthiest guys in the entire world, and for him to say that, oh, Jesus, it's just amazing. So is it your conclusion that the son is not actually dead, then? He never did die.
Yeah. I've not seen any indication that he would have been alive, but I see all the signs that he would have died.
It's a fake death.
But I see the indications that, to the contrary, that he's very much alive. And the synchronicities they're too compelling to ignore.
Yeah, there's many people, we've discussed this before, but it's worth at least taking a moment. There's many people who were told publicly had died who probably are not. I think Timothy McVeigh, for instance, is among those whose death was faked. Certainly Saddam Hussein, the man who they hung, was not the true Saddam Hussein. He was another man. In the case of Saddam Hussein, too, I just immediately assumed, because thanks to Al Bielek, they've had human cloning technology. They've attained it from the aliens, and they had it in operation by the early 1950s. They could clone a man with, let's say, the DNA from the original Saddam. Aliens have the technology to grow in these special containers aboard their ships a full-size human being in a matter of months. When, you know, it doesn't have to take the normal time that, you know, a conventional human being takes to grow into adulthood. They could do it in a matter of months. So they could animate this individual. They could even transfer souls from one cloned body if they so desired, or they could be soulless. But they would still function, act like a human. They would be uploaded with all of the memories of the original Saddam Hussein. So the clone, who I presume this was, it probably wasn't. It was probably just a double who was so close to him in appearance that they used him, certainly mind-controlled him.
Mm-hmm.
But the individual, whether it's the clone or whether it's a mind-controlled chosen double, thinks he's the person who he's saying he is. So that person is not aware of a clone, is not aware of that they've been cloned, because they have all the memories. They, again, thanks to Al Bielek, the Montauk Project especially perfected the ability to download memories into a computer data bank, a complete lifetime worth of memories. And if they can download them, they can upload them, which is what they do with cloned individuals. We said it before, but I'll repeat it. You know, in Clinton's first term, you know, he was president for 8 years, but in his first term, there were numerous newspaper and stories that alluded to his inexplicable change in appearance from one news conference to the other, particularly his hair color, the texture of his hair. And reporters were noting these oddities. We weren't seeing the same Bill Clinton. We were seeing, in some cases, clones of Bill Clinton.
Well, that seemed to be the case with a 1976 photo of Jimmy Carter, too, part on the other side of the head. Now, you could reverse a negative and
yes,
and produce that result, but
right.
Everything else seemed to be in the right place in that photo. So, and
yes, they've had the technology for quite some time, and I'm presuming based on what I've read, that clones don't hold up that long. They are a couple years, 2 or 3 years, and they seem to break down, malfunction. I don't know why. I don't know anything about this, but so they have a number of clones. I guess we've talked about this. You know, Christopher Story had said that in December, I think I got it. Was it December of 2007?
2000. I think it was 2006, going into 2007.
Was it that long ago?
Yeah, it seems.
In which he claimed that Henry Paulson...
Or could have been 2007 going into 2008.
Yeah, I think that was it. And he said that, he claimed that Henry Paulson, the then Secretary of Treasury, was actually assassinated in Europe and had died in a hospital after some days.
It was like the 28th or something of September.
Right. And then so fast forward to early January of 2008, in which Bush has a press conference in which we supposedly see Henry Paulson. Now, this was like, I forget, maybe it's January 1, 2, 3, 4, in that range.
Mm-hmm.
Henry Paulson...
He looked like a hologram in that video.
Right, he looked like a hologram in that video, right. So it's possible that the man that we've been calling Paulson in the last year or so is a clone of the original Paulson. That's more than possible. A lot of people who we see today might well be clones. I don't, for instance, believe that Kenneth Lay, was that the guy from Enron?
Yes, I was going to mention him.
Actually died. If there was a body in the casket, I don't know the details of the funeral, it probably was a clone. I just don't buy these stories. This man has an inexplicable and dies of a heart attack a month before the trial of the century. No. Things don't work that way mm-hmm. in real life.
The grandma dies.
When Barack Obama's so-called grandmother dies conveniently just before his election when she's shooting off her mouth about seeing him born in a Kenyan hospital, then it was time to shuffle Granny off. They
was in Hawaii, though.
That was in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Probably they just, relocated him. And so when you're saying that the son of Nelson Rockefeller, who was reported to have died, in Indonesia in 62, 63, whatever the date was, may well be alive, could be on Earth, could not be on Earth. It's easy for these people to just be ensconced somewhere in, one of the Rockefeller's many hideaways around the world. They could be in one of these. There's an entire world under the surface. There are these huge underground cities. There's thousands of them. You know, there's a couple hundred under North America, but they're all over the world, or Asia, Europe. They're all interconnected by underground tunnels and, you know, maglev train systems, etc. There's this entire world going on beneath the surface that we, the sheeple, don't supposed to know about. He may be there. He might be on Mars. They've had bases on Mars for many decades now. Large cities, I'm told, are so highly populated now. Of course, there's bases on the moon. I don't know how much fun it is on Mars, but the guy could be anywhere. It's not science fiction. These scenarios are more than plausible because they have the technology. And what is fiction is what is being fed
to the people,
you know, to the surface people. We're being fed, you know, fairy tales daily by the news. There's a script that was written, you know, decades ago by the Bilderbergers and so forth. And the news media people are simply following their actors. They're following their daily script. It's like, you know, it's like a soap opera, but they're calling it real life. They're calling it real news when it's all scripted.
Uh-huh.
And their goal is to, you know, eliminate most of us surface people so that they can have a much smaller population of people to use as slaves, essentially, to serve these elite masters, you know, who apparently plan to share the planet with, you know, their alien pals. But their alien pals have plans. They plan to take over the whole planet and get rid of the Illuminati when the time is right. But I'm not sure any of that's going to unfold, but that's the game. That's the game.
That appears to be the plan. Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, we're about out of time. I just wanted to reference that. I did have fun, especially with Photo 5 and Photo 5A and Photo 5B of the article, which are variations of the original one that was published.
Yes.
How often do you see photos of people taken at night? It just doesn't happen now.
Right.
You know, there are exceptions. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
But you would normally not take a group photo of people at a party,
right,
in the total pitch black of night. You just wouldn't do that. You would go someplace where there's a modicum of light and even use a flash unit to brighten up the picture.
Yep.
And they were able to produce daylight photos, morning photos, you know, afternoon, evening, nighttime. It didn't matter the time of day, they could produce photos. And they could always have the most anomalous of lighting conditions. Mm-hmm. Absence of shadows where they should be, mm-hmm, presence of shadows where they should not. And when you study the shadows are moving in the wrong direction, and in multiple directions within a photograph. Now, this photo 5 in the Three Stooges Part 6 it's almost like a cartoon photo. It's like something you would see in Snuffy Smith or something, a bunch of people that appear to be waiting for a bus. And, you know, and they look like they're standing in the middle of the street waiting for the bus. And and some of them, because their bodies are photoshopped into this picture, mm-hmm, really look like they're levitating. And I had fun describing it because it just cracked me up. I mean, it's so ridiculous what they have put out for,
yes,
you know, consumption, that this somehow legitimizes this whole story. And it's a totally fraudulent picture. Absolutely fraudulent.
Right. I just wanted to remind, because we've been referring to this story. The story you're talking about is a story you recently put up. I have it on my website. Of course, it's on your website, but it's part six of your series called The Three Stooges Go to Washington, part six. It's the latest installment, and the photos you're talking about are embedded in that story. If I could, just want to take 1 second. I just want to mention that a story which I'm featuring on my website. I originally put it up April 18th, but I just added to it yesterday, mm-hmm. the 28th, and I sent it to Jeff Rentz this morning, and I was happy to see he did put up on his website. It's the story of a man named Stephen Anderson.
Oh, yeah.
Who's a younger guy who was, he's a Baptist pastor. He's about 29 years old or so. He drives through the, from the area from San Diego to Phoenix, because he does work in both areas. So he's often traveling required to go through what's called internal checkpoints with Border Patrol stopping vehicles. And normally, you know, at least if you're a white guy and, you know, you look like you're an American, they just wave you through. But in some cases, they were stopping him. And what he did is that he encountered this on April the 14th of this month. He encountered a checkpoint in Arizona. He says it's about 75 miles east of Yuma on Interstate 8, in which they wanted him to answer his questions, their questions about, and he told them that he's not required to answer their questions, that he's an American citizen, and that they also wanted to search his car, and he says, you don't have any probable cause, which you need, and the Fourth Amendment, you know, guarantees him the constitutional right to be free of searches, police search, without a warrant, blah, blah, blah. And they wouldn't let it go. These Arizona Border Patrols ramped up the confrontation to the point that they called in the local Department of Public Safety, it's called in Arizona, but it's the equivalent of the Highway Patrol for Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did is they literally smashed this guy's car windows in and then tasered the hell out of this guy, both in the car, crushed his head against the door with broken glass, ground the glass into his face, got him outside in the ground, stomped on his face into the asphalt with more broken glass going into his skin and forehead and face, repeatedly tasering this guy. I mean, fortunately, he was a young man, because an older man probably would have, you know, been killed as a result of the incredible amount of tasering. The taser marks all over the back of his two arms is unbelievable. Looks like he has smallpox. He was hit so many times. And anyway, his whole story, though, is and videotape of what he reported is on my website. So it's really a terrible, outrageous assault on this man who did nothing illegal, and these goons who are wearing Border Patrol uniforms are just totally clueless as to what the law says, even though they claim to be knowledgeable in it. They simply don't know what the law is, and they abuse it. And so I'm hoping this story becomes a very big issue. It needs to become a big issue in order to try to stem the use of Border Patrol or any law enforcement in a way that's, you know, a violation of the Constitution. So I wanted to mention that as part of this
okay
broadcast.
Well, Ken, we're out of time, and I'm going to have you back again next month, so
okay, you
and I will get together on those dates. We haven't really planned anything yet. We do know that also you published a piece on the shapeshifters in London.
Thank you for reminding me. Yes.
And so I want to encourage people to go to your website, and they can read that on your current news page. Go to educate-yourself.org to get to Ken's website. Ken, thanks a lot for being on the show.
Thank you, Tom.
It's late, and we gotta let people go home.
Okay.
So we'll be talking soon. I want to wish you, with the weekend and the end of the month coming up at about the same time, want to wish you a great weekend coming up and a cheerful month of May, and
yes,
hopefully a very productive one.
Right.
Okay, I'll say goodnight to you, and folks, we'll say goodnight. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join us again tomorrow evening when my special guest will be Mr. Joe Church. In the meantime, I wish you a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.